There's an old story about a man who's running from a lion. And he's running toward a cliff and there's nowhere to go. And he jumps off the cliff and he grabs hold of a branch sticking out of the side of the cliff and he's holding on to the branch. And the lion is looking down at him and the man looks down and there's another lion at the bottom looking back up at him. And he is between the devil in a dark place, and he suddenly notices there's a strawberry on the branch. And with one hand he holds on, and with the other hand he reaches out and takes the strawberry and eats it. Sometimes we find ourselves living in difficult times. And this may be one of them. I don't know about all of you, but when I look around myself, the physical, material, political world that we are finding ourselves in, it's like a lion above and a lion below and hanging on the cliff. And where is that strawberry? Well, it's never not there. And really, the journey of life, the real journey of life, is to find that sweetness, that freshness, that nourishment, that taste of joy that is always present. Your failure to find that exposes you to a great deal of fear and trembling, hanging on for dear life, nothing good above you, nothing good below you, and the branch itself probably feels like it's coming out of the side of the mountain. It's all true. It's exactly where we end up, everybody, in an inescapable space where there is no good outcome. But, there's the strawberry. And the strawberry is essentially this present tense sweet, delicious reality that is there, possibly for what you might think of as going to be the last bite. But take that bite. Every instant of your life is supported by this invisible present tense. It is a luscious quality, and every one of you knows it. Even in the darkest moments, there is a hidden version of that unbelievable wanting to touch, eat, smell, feel the universe. It's there. Of course, in very bleak moments for certain people, it's not discoverable. In fact, it's almost the absence of that feeling that causes people to make terrible decisions in their lives. But the real problem is the failure on people's parts not to have found this thing, this reality that imbues our existence every instant of our lives. It is never hidden. It is we who get lost in the mind-numbing drama and agenda of our lives. Everything we do, all of our stuff, all of our suffering, all of our striving, all of our ambition, all of our failure, all of that stuff is happening within the scope of this quality of being that transcends all the stuff that's going on, that gives breadth and meaning and value to everything that's going on. And yet we're so caught up in the minutiae of the stuff that we fail to see the strawberry. We fail to see this thing that is supporting us and in which we really lay ourselves down and just say, take me in. We do it every night. Every night you get into that bed and most of you say, I'm here. You don't acknowledge what that thing is. It's all like so by rote, you know, go to sleep, wake up, go to sleep, wake up. Going to sleep is handing yourself over to this comfort zone, to this support, to this acknowledgement that you're okay. It just allows you this restorative moment. It's so valuable. But in truth, that moment is there all day long, every day. And it does not take much to connect to it. If you're hanging on that branch and the lion is above and the lion is below, 99.9% of people would miss the strawberry because the terror, the panic, the fear, the futility of it all is so dominating. But really, that's how most of us live every day. And you may not be aware of that. You may have covered it up with distraction. You know, you can't wait to watch the next episode of Westworld or whatever it is you're caught up in. You may be really caught up in, you know, the job that has to get done and the people who are waiting for you to deliver something or whatever the stuff is that keeps you from the panic or keeps you from the drama. But there's always stuff going on. And what it really keeps you from is the strawberry. All you have to do, really, is take a breath. There it is. Never went anywhere. And it takes you in the same way sleep takes you in. But it's not knocking you out into unconsciousness, it's waking you up into consciousness. It's like, oh, thank you. I can do this. I can live another moment. I can live a whole life going into this place that offers support, nourishment, love, encouragement, guidance, help, everything. It just is there. And the problem, which I speak about every week, is that nobody's looking there. They're looking for the answer out there. Heal me. Give me something that will take care of these pains and these issues and these problems. Solve my problems. Everything outside you. Go to the doctor. Go to the healer. Go to the yoga teacher. You know, whatever. All of these people pointing you in all these different directions. And the only direction that really, really can provide you the help you're looking for is in here. Sit still. You know, my old adjunct, which I use for animal mind, dog mind, is stop, sit, stay. Period. That's it. The problem for most people is they don't ever do that. They go, 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 sleep, go, 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 sleep, go, 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 sleep. That is exhausting. It's a treadmill. Stop, sit, stay. Here's the issue. Nothing is more terrifying to us than stillness. All of our issues come up. All the stuff we don't look at, that we hold in abeyance, that we try to suppress, that we try not to deal with, all that stuff that is distracted from us by our distractions, suddenly in that stillness shows itself. Your underlying terror, fear of existential truth, your impermanence, your the fact that you're not going to be here forever. All if you get still enough, that stuff starts to go, oh, I'm here, starts to show itself, and you want to go, oh, no. Give me a book, give me my phone, give me something not to look at that stuff. And here I'm saying the pathway through that stuff is to enter it, to be brave enough to sit still long enough so that all that stuff that comes up is recognized just as mind chatter. It's basic mind chatter. It's absolutely central to the system, but it's noise. If you can penetrate that noise, that fear, that hysteria, that panic, whatever it is that comes in the stillness of the night, just sit in your own stillness. This voice will go, it's okay. It's okay. Come on in. And it opens, and you're invited into yourself. You have to make that passage. You have to go through the battle, if it's a battle. You have to go through the resistance. You have to go through the anything but that experience in your life to find yourself. It may not happen overnight. You may have to really do a disciplined approach. It's just like you can't go to the gym and get abs, six packs, in a week or in one night. It doesn't happen. There is a warrior period where you have to fight the battle so you can come through on the other side as a person with stories to tell. You've learned stuff. The drama of life has taught you stuff. You have to sit still long enough to penetrate the density of your own resistance. You have to do that. You will be hanging on a branch. There will be a lion above you and a lion below you, and you're hanging there, and you may feel like an idiot going, please help me to surrender. Taking a breath, getting quiet. But I will tell you, it is preferable to do that hanging on the branch than scream and yell and cry and wonder, why me, God? It's better to do that. If you can do it, before the lion appears, before the branch is the last thing you can hold on to, if you can do it while you're still here, while you still have enough energy, enough clarity, enough determination, if you can begin this process and really start to find your way into central being, the center of your being, if you can dig through the stuff that doesn't want to go there, that wants to go to the movies or watch another TV show, if you can get to that point, the reward is the berry. The reward is the strawberry on the branch. You can always go for it. You can always take a bite. You can actually hang there for a fairly long time enjoying that deliciousness of life. In the end, one of those lions is going to get you, or the ground. In the end, it will all demolish who you are. Let me propose this idea of arriving at what I will call the grand yes. The grand yes. The grand yes is when you bite that strawberry and you go, yes. The next moment may be in the mouth of a lion, and all the way down the side of the hill or the mountain into that jaw of finality. If you can find the grand yes, you will have completed your life's work. You will have completed the human journey, because it all comes down to that. Can you go yes to everything that your biology is going no? Can you say yes to the worst possible thing? Take the bite of that strawberry. Oh, yes. In a way, this is the practice of that. It really has fundamental, life-ending, life-changing, life-altering dynamic. If you can find the grand yes now, everything that comes before that final existential truth will be a training ground into a level of being in the world that will be a positive, if you will, a yes rather than a resistance and a no. You're learning to go yes to life. You're learning to go yes to being. It's worth learning. And you learn it by taking a breath, going inside, sit, stop, sit, stay. Go in there, stay there long enough until the little glimmering of something inside you goes, hello, hello. And you go and it says, come on in, lie down, sit down, relax, it's okay. Whatever that voice is, I hope it's different than my voice. whatever it is, you go in and it will feel like it's you welcoming you home. It's you welcoming you to where you belong. It is the grand yes of being. You can find that. You can have that. It is like, why not find that? It's really interesting to me. I've been teaching a long time, maybe 45 years or more, sitting with lots and lots of people, some of them almost that long. Here's a really interesting thing. I have found very few people who've changed very much. Really kind of intriguing to me. How can you go through an entire life and hardly change? In a way, we become more and more and more of our self, good and bad. But rather than see transformational alteration, I keep seeing they're just who they were before. What's going on here? We're all basically who we are and who we have always been. And the spiritual journey, which we think of as transformative, actually is a journey that allows you to be you. To get past judgment, because some people you look at and go, I wish after all these years they would change. Something would be different about them. And you look at them and go, then nothing has changed. And you think of it as failure. I'm not convinced it's failure. I don't think it is failure. I mean, we're not asked to do much in life. I talk about this a lot. It's kind of the journey from I to us, or me to we, or I to thou. That's kind of the journey. Not a lot of people exactly get there. But the journey is also to show up and be present in your own life. Be present. And I've got to tell you, most people are and do. Mostly, your life is exactly what it's supposed to be. The goal, the end goal, is really kind of out of your hands. The real goal, if there is one, is to taste the strawberry now. And I think, to the degree that we're capable of it, most of us do that every day. It may not be a strawberry, but it may be a glass of water, it may be juice, it may be sitting back and reading the newspaper. It may be hearing a bird when you're walking down the street. It may be something that just goes, oh, you connect with being. You connect with presence. You connect with I'm alive. You connect with this underlying sense of being, presence. You connect. And it sustains you even when you're deeply unconscious of it. The only thing I'm proposing that's different than what most people's lives offer is being aware of it. Imagine the difference between taking a bite of the strawberry and going, like that, and taking a bite of the strawberry and going, not even lingering, really. It's recognition. It's awareness. It's like, oh, this is good. This is delicious. So the real difference is people who live a life in which they have, if you will, appreciated it, and those who live a life where they're just hanging on a branch. In the end, it's the same life. In the end, it's the life they chose. Some people love hanging on that branch. They love the drama. They love the fear. They love the construction of their own horror. Who are we to say that's the wrong journey? I'm only telling you there is another alternative to that that makes it richer, sweeter, bigger, clearer, and ultimately revelational or revelatory. That's the difference. Wake up or not. Be present or not. One way or another, you are, but in one scenario, you're aware of it, and in the other scenario, you're not. I will tell you, that last moment, falling into the mouth of the lion, there will be some waking up. And you can do one of two things at that moment. You can go yes, the grand yes, or you can go no, click. That's it. Yes or no. And that yes or no takes a lifetime to create. Yes or no. And if you do it every day, if you do it consciously every day, it's an amazing life. If you say yes unconsciously, it's okay. It's what many people and most people do. If you go no every day, it's a real burden. It's a real awful way to live. So, taste the strawberry. Say yes to your life. Make it a grand yes, meaning moment to moment. Recognize that you have an ability to have a transcendent, truly noble, truly gracious, and graced, and loving existence completely, simply by stepping inside and touching yourself, being your authentic, true being, and allow that to live your life for you and to enter every day in a state of absolute wonder. Why not do that? What's the resistance to that? I can't answer that question for you. Think about it. Questions.
Would it work with a raspberry?
That is about the best question you can ask.
You know, I know what stops me from, I feel like I do spend a lot of time in appreciation of the strawberry, and I feel very blessed. I don't know that it's necessarily because I did any work, but I feel blessed because I can. But when it gets to the chatter doesn't feel like chatter. It feels like truth. It comes to me as such truth that I can't get out of it sometimes. And naturally, I get out of it usually within 24 hours of a particular kind of chatter. But I would, what wonder it would be for me to hear that truth and say, not truth, in real, be able to do that in real time.
You can absolutely do that. That's really a meditative gift, in a sense. Chatter is imbued with truth because everything around us feels true. So any chatter, anything that comes up feels true. Oh my God, this is really true, it's really happening. We live in a state of reinforcement of the material outer universe as true. And it's really arriving from a deeper truth that in fact imbues the totality, but also, if you go really deep, it also begins to demolish, if you will, the outer vision, the outer appearance, as nothing but appearance. And it's really kind of a fascinating place. The deeper you go, the more you realize this stuff doesn't hold together. You might say it just becomes molecular. It's like, oh. And the deeper you go, the faster you become aware that it's, if you become really vast in your awareness, the worldly events are tiny. They're tiny. They're minuscule. They're important, but they're minuscule. If you look at thought and you feel its truth, it's because it comes out of a universe that is reinforcing the truth. Everything is true. You know, that hurts. True. You know, I might die tomorrow and this is going to happen and that can happen and I knew all this can happen and this terrible things can happen. It's all true. But it's also just thought happening and emanating at any given time. And what you learn when you go, oh, that was just thought. Oh, I can let go of that. I don't have to hold it. It doesn't have a hold on me. It's just something passing through the manifested space of being, which is an endless manifestation of stuff transforming in front of you and maintaining what appears to be a kind of through line of purpose or a through line of reality. And so we see all these momentary things, just like a movie, you know, with 24 frames a second, comes together like a real living thing. It's 24 frames a second. Stop at any one of them. And it's like, oh, you can go into the frame. You can look at the picture. You can go see stuff you never would see before they cut to the next image. And you can break it down and realize that this is nothing. And then again, the molecularity of the still frame. You know, it's like, this is nothing. It's just color. It's just form. It's just manifested stuff. But you put it all together in reality, and it's like, oh my God, this is like a real thing. It's not a real thing. It's just like a movie. On the other hand, most of us never stop to look at it that way. And if you say it takes you a 24-hour period to stop it and slow it down, that's at a certain point, that's a very big achievement. Another achievement is let it take 2 seconds and go, oh, or just go, or just be still and watch this thing happening from a very different perspective. And then you can enter into it and go, ooh, what a ride. I mean, it's a big ride. And then you can go, still point. That's a level of control, a level of surrender, a level of giving yourself over to this vast illusion of being that can give you mastery, if you will, over the presentation of form. You can give you a thing that can, a capacity that can just go, no, not right now. No. Thanks for appearing, but not interested. Doesn't have to grab me. It can also give you the raspberry as opposed to the strawberry. It can give you all these other things to love and enjoy and appreciate, but the capacity to step back and go, no. Or the grand yes. I get it all. Yes. Let it all happen. There comes a point where there's sort of no you involved. It just is. And then the choices are just happening, and you just sit, you're just watching this, not even watching. Watching is the wrong word. You are the thing itself. And you are the thing in its polarities. You are the thing in its fully documented, manifested form, and you are the thing in its completely unmanifested truth, all at the same time. And there is no way you will cognate what that means. It will make zero sense. But that's who and what you are. It's called I am that. I am that. That help? I mean, I know that's a long answer to the raspberry question.
My question is sort of the second part of this. I'll try to get this speed a little bit. I mean, the grand yes is something the days when I get it and let it, and then there are days when it's could be more far away. And I think part of that is because there's the, I always be able to experience this with some context, there's time. I can get lost in the noise for a little while, get too lost. And then you go, hey, I'm not changing at all. I can see why. And then yesterday, I heard, you know, what is the worst possible news I think you could hear? A friend of mine, perfect health, young guy, overnight, got the worst possible news about his health. Overnight. And I'm thinking about him and the grand, yes, and I, now he's, you know, the privilege of that context of time. It's not a narrative anymore. And I don't know. I wonder how he's saying, find this grand, yes. I don't, as a friend, I feel very lost too, but that's secondary. Thinking about him and how
nothing stops us in our tracks more than those messages. Nothing brings us back to truth and reality more than those messages. If we have not spent any time at all in preparation for that message, it comes as a blow, like out of the blue, like how could that ever happen, when in fact it always happens? Maybe not when you're young, maybe not when you're ill-prepared, but it's always on the agenda. There's never a time when this human psyche isn't aware that this moment couldn't be the last moment. It is avoided like the plague. You know, nobody wants to face that thing until it's there, and then that's when the lessons start for many people. That's when maybe your friend will find the strawberry or not. You know, I mean, life is never promised to be more than a temporary experience, and it can end in every possible variable. The indications of the deep inner space, the strawberry within, are surprising. There is a hint, and sometimes more than a hint, that we exist way beyond time and space, that we exist beyond beginnings and endings. We exist before we come into this world, and we exist when we go out of this world, that which we are is infinite and eternal, and that is something that one really begins to experience in the depth of a spiritual awareness. It is liberating on some fundamental level, but it does not dismiss the biological terror of not breathing, pain, all of that other stuff. It's still part of the human condition, but there is a promise of something so much greater, so much bigger, so much more beyond. And how do we possibly even envision that as a positive when we have to lose all the things we love here and now? Really, it's the most painful, the most difficult part of the human equation. You know, meditation offers maybe the promise or the false promise of something beyond and more and possible. And all I can tell you is, at one point I knew the answer to all that, and now I have no idea. But I know this: at any given moment, even I think in the worst moments, I can go, okay, to this. It's all I got. I can go, okay, to this. I called it the grand yes, as though it was to this. The grand yes is to this. It's all I got. I can open to this moment. When you get the grand pronouncement, the final existential truth, it can do a great deal of damage in a way, but does create a lot of difficulty in the mind. An untrained mind will maybe never find its way back into yes, may not. It will take the dissolution of mind in order for something to come back. You know, I've watched people with dementia, my mother-in-law being a good example, who had many enemies and many angers and many hostilities, and she would spend her whole day and night talking about all the people who did her wrong. she lost her mind. And as she lost her mind, all of those things went away, and she found herself into, assuming she was to go. The journey, if we're lucky, is into that. The best you can do for your friend is not to give advice, because I don't believe any of us have the advice to give, but I think any kind of touch, caring, presence, letting him know you're there, whatever that means, is the gift that is understood and real. I cannot believe what touch does for people. It centers, and it's possible in that touch, which can be physical, emotional, even at a distance, that touch can bring this moment of quiet and this discovery of yes. It happens. I have seen it happen. I said to a young man who was dying, I said, trust the journey. I don't know where the words came from. He said that did everything. He never thought to trust it. Hard. It's hard. But it is, it was never part of the equation. Never not part of the equation, excuse me. It's always there. We all face it. It's what gives life its meaning, its purpose, and its preciousness. The fact that it's taken away is why we care for it so much. So do what you can for him and, you know, for yourself. Anybody else? Okay. I'll leave you with one last thing, which I just said a minute ago, but I think it's important. The grand yes is tiny. Tiny. It lasts that long. Okay. Thank you.